Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I invite you to think about what is life-giving to you. What is there that makes you feel alive or strong or whole? That's part of what I mean by life-giving. Something life-giving energizes you or makes you joyful or frees your spirit. So, what is it that makes you feel that way? Is it being with kids, being with grandkids or other loved ones? Is it seeing a bird that you have never seen before, or hearing some beautiful music? Or maybe even it's exercising or working at something you're good at. All of these things may be life-giving. It's really something pretty unique for each of us. For the Hebrew people, and later the Jews, the Sabbath was meant to be life-giving. It was a day to enjoy rest, a day to enjoy freedom from slavery. Now, observant Jews still celebrate Sabbath as an amazing gift, as a day to enjoy God's creation and rest in the confidence that God is in control and that the world does not need our work for a day. And so I think we need to remember this overwhelmingly positive intention of the Sabbath in order to understand our gospel passage today. Sabbath is not a punishment. It is not primarily a time when people say to one another, "You're not allowed to do that on the Sabbath day." Instead, obeying the Sabbath laws is an opportunity for wholeness and joy. And yet, Jesus is caught apparently disregarding the Sabbath. He disregards this quintessentially Jewish observance, treats this gift from God as just another day. What on earth might prompt Jesus to do that? Well, as a way of trying to come up with an answer to that, I'm going to offer a little digression here and say that most of us are creatures of habit. And that can be a very good thing, I think. Habits get us brushing our teeth and flossing every day without wasting a lot of energy thinking about it. It's something we need to do, so we just do it. But habits can also keep us doing things that are not so healthy for us. It's the habits that keep us reaching for that second piece of pie, whether we are hungry or not. Habits form our character, whether it is for good or for ill. We rely on our habits. And I think it's connected to the fact that we like stability. We like the status quo. We like things to stay the same, sometimes even when things aren't so great. Have you ever said or heard someone say, "The devil you know is better than the devil you don't know"? I think that's part of our liking for the status quo. It can simply be easier to keep things the same. Sometimes we even go so far as to institutionalize our good things to keep them happening the same way, time after time. And I wonder if Sabbath keeping had become like that in Jesus' time. The Sabbath is a great good thing. And for us today, it is a spiritual resource that has not been used as much as we could use it. But it sounds like the Sabbath had become a prisoner of the status quo in Jesus' time. And religious leaders, such as the Pharisees, had sought to codify the Sabbath, to nail it down, to narrow it down, so that what had once been life-giving was now more rote than right. Of course, Sabbath is a gift from God, and it can never, as such, be completely undermined. But the religious leaders, I think, were forgetting that. They were thinking that they were in charge of the Sabbath, and maybe they had even started thinking that they had created the Sabbath. And along comes Jesus to challenge them. It's still early in his ministry. People haven't seen all that he can do yet, but here, even at the beginning, some of his views are already deeply troubling to the religious leaders. Jesus is challenging the status quo. He has allowed his disciples to work on the Sabbath by gathering grain. He has healed a man on the Sabbath. And to top it all off, Jesus refers to himself as the Lord of the Sabbath. Well, faced with this, the Pharisees decide to try to find a way to accuse Jesus, and they begin a conspiracy against him, and they're already seeking to destroy him, and it's only chapter 2 of the book. The religious leaders are so attached to the status quo that they just cannot see the life-giving Lord of the Sabbath. They're not open to the creative work of God among them. Now, by the way, Jesus really is not saying anything all that new or unheard of in Judaism. The law is given to the people with all sorts of opportunities for flexibility if they need them. So Jesus is not disparaging the law. He's not breaking the law. Instead, like King David before him, he is honoring the true purpose of the commandment, to preserve life. And in Deuteronomy, the Sabbath is declared to be this opportunity to remember the Hebrews' time in slavery and to remember God as liberator, because God hates slavery. God even hates slavery to religious practices and conventions, even slavery to the Sabbath. Instead, God has promised to renew all things in Jesus Christ, Christ who is the Lord of the Sabbath, not the Lord of the status quo. Too often we confuse the status quo, the way things are, with the way things should be. And we hope that other people will change rather than having to change ourselves. Or we do things the same way over and over again while hoping for different outcomes. The past few days, I have been disturbed by a little boy that I met who comes from a very troubled background. He's 4.5 years old, but he is not able to do many of the things that children half his age are already learning. He's not talking, he just makes babbling sounds. He's not walking properly. He repeats certain gestures over and over again. It's pretty clear to me that this child needs to be evaluated by a doctor and that he can likely be helped. And yet his father, who is doing his very best in an extremely difficult situation, his father is trying to maintain the status quo. The father says, the boy just needs a little more stability. He needs love. He just needs a babysitter to take care of him during the day. And the father hopes that all these things will bring his child around. But probably what the little boy needs is something a little bit larger scale, some help that requires some change. I'm not an expert, definitely, but I'm disturbed because I fear that the father is putting the status quo before the life-giving possibilities of change and help for his boy. But Jesus, as the Lord of the Sabbath, upends the status quo. Jesus puts the hungry before the laws against working. He puts the ill before laws against curing on the Sabbath. Jesus goes to the creative and redeeming heart of the Sabbath in order to bring about life-giving change. And Jesus can do that for us as well. He will feed us here at this table. He forgives us of our sins. He can give us true Sabbath rest. He alone can give us rest from our anxieties, rest from our attempts to fix everything ourselves by doing things the same way, time after time. Habits can be life-draining or life-giving. Which will it be? Jesus invites us into habits that bring more and more life into our lives and into the world. So as we practice our faith, may we celebrate, first of all, the Lord of the Sabbath, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.